from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I.
Hello, hello! It's not actually Eric having a female voice, but he lost his voice, so I'm going to do the introduction. And welcome to Postcard from Poprad. And I'm going to say straight away hello to Rachel in Darwin.
Alex,
settle down, Rampants. I'll get to you. Hello, hello, lovely Petra. I am in Darwin, you're right. And you know what? I don't mind that Uncle Eric's having a week off because he's a bit of a girl and he lost his voice. I don't know what kind of broadcaster loses their voice. It's a bit slack, really. But you're doing a bang-up job. And now it's my job to throw over to Uncle Rampants, who's in a terrible mood. He's had a dreadful situation, as usual. Uncle Lee G. Banks in the UK.
I don't understand this. In all of my life, I am not a male chauvinist pig. I am not somebody who objects to the liberation of women. I think all women should be freed. They should be freed in the forest like you free apes. And all of a,
Lee, all of a sudden,
what?
You don't want to lose your voice and it will be only me and Rachel. Like,
I will not lose my voice. I will not lose my voice. There is a simple point here. In all of my life, no woman has ever come before I have.
Double meaning to this.
I'm thinking of a song from one of those songs that you'd enjoy, Lee. The times they are a changing, it's nice for a woman to come before you, and bless us all.
Over me.
Now that is getting Django all the way out in the forest, isn't it?
Yeah, Django. Who's Django? I saw a film called
Django. Jane Goodall. She's that lady who works with the gorillas. The gorillas in the forest. She does all that.
You're not equating women with gorillas, dear.
No, you did. You said we should be free like gorillas.
Free the women.
Let us all run free.
Yes, the women should run free and naked and as glorious as day that they were born. Women
we're
are
pretty
beautiful
naked. Creatures. We're pretty women naked in Darwin.
Are you naked?
I'm not naked currently. I'm wearing a T-shirt and my underpants because that's just right on radio.
Now Lee's using his imagination.
Yes, but it is quite warm. It's warm in Darwin and not a lot of people wear clothing. It's a heat thing.
It is a heat rash. Anyway,
you two are getting dirty-minded.
Sir, she's an Australian. They're all the same in Australia, Petra.
That's true, actually. That's a generalisation, but it's a good one and it's true.
It's not about being in Australia. It's about being almost not dressed.
A woman.
That's correct.
A partially naked woman.
Yes.
That's what it's about. Can I tell you why I'm in a really bad mood?
Oh, you Please. Don't seem like being in a bad mood, but fire away.
Okay, it's like, I know we're 9 minutes into the show and we've not done anything yet, but that's fine, isn't it? That's a good thing. So the ladies and gentlemen, one of the most horrendous stories that they will ever hear in their lives, and this, ladies and gentlemen, has happened to me, the man who's been cuckolded by RTI, the man who's been treated as a second-class citizen. Are you all right?
I just love the word cuckolded. It's one of my favourite words.
Oh, I see. I hope Rob knows that.
Please go on. Please.
Excuse me. I've just got to cough now because I might have to go and join Eric. Are you ready? Here's me cough. Oh, God. Oh, no. Anyway, so what happened, ladies and gentlemen? As we all know, I have a Bentley. People deny it's a Bentley, but in its reality, it is a Bentley. And on Wednesday of this week, my Bentley broke down. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, even Bentley Chryslers break down sometimes. I phoned my mechanic. I said, it won't work. He says, don't worry. I said, well, I'm upset. He says, I know, I'd be upset as well, but don't worry about it. He says, it's probably only a sensor that's gone. So if you can get it to us, we'll put it on our little diagnostic machine and we'll find out what's wrong with it and we'll mend it. It might take a couple of hours. So I think, oh, that's all right. So I am a member of a major organisation in Britain. I'm not going to name them at the moment because I'm too livid to actually say anything. It's one of the main ones, and they are a recovery organisation who come out and recover your car and take it to the garage when it won't work. Simple. Dead simple. Oh, you know how easy it is to drive a car? Well, you know how easy...
Yes, actually, even I can drive one, so yes.
Even me.
In your underpants.
Yes.
That's like being a
always, always in clean underpants in case you're getting an accident.
But yeah, yeah, that's absolutely. Yeah, you don't want skiddies if you skid, do you?
No.
So, you too. Hello, hello.
Anyway, the roadside service came and got your car.
They came to rescue my car and take it to the Golden Angel of Chrysler muscle cars in Wolverhampton, 20 miles away from me. That was what's supposed to happen. This is Wednesday. So, this big... I can only describe him as a big boy. Turns up, his big boy's tow truck, gets into my big boy's muscle car, and you know what you do when you get in a car? You fiddle with the wheel, don't you? And you just shake the wheel. And you know what he did? He put the lock on.
He
put the steering lock on. The steering lock doesn't
the
go
The dullard.
On. Yes.
The dolt.
He also put the steering lock on with the wheels facing to the left.
Oh, good.
Now, without going into too much detail, because the car is a little bit poorly, like Eric is.
Yes. The car's lost its voice.
Yes, it's lost everything. Nothing will work. So you couldn't get the steering lock off because the idiot had turned the wheel with the key out. So all of a sudden they start to come round and start to think what they're going to do to get it down the drive onto a tow truck. For some inexplicable reason, they couldn't get the tow truck up the drive. So 14 hours, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and anybody else who's listening, particularly this rescue organisation, 14 hours, they're still here trying to get my car on the back of their tow truck.
You could have pushed it in that time.
I could have sold it and bought a new one. 14 hours to put a car on a tow truck.
But do you know what it means?
It means they're idiots.
No, sell it and buy a new one.
I can't sell it. Petra, you know what?
You've got real sentimental attachment to the Bentley. You can't sell it.
Beautiful. And it's like, you know, it's just beautiful. And it's just sitting there looking all upset in the drive because he's thinking, what's happening to me? It's like when you take your dog to the vets and the nurse comes out and grabs it and drops it
on
the floor.
Did you give it a little stroke?
Give it a little stroke?
Yeah. Well, you feel so sorry for it. You should be stroking it every day.
Did you pat the car? Yeah. Did you pat it and go, there, it's going to be all right?
Well, I was a bit falling out with it, actually, for breaking down, because I don't see why it's broken down. I've got to be fair, it hasn't broken down for 2 years, and it's suddenly decided to break down. Do you know, I've had it 2 years now.
That's lovely. Do you know what? Speaking of dogs getting dropped, that actually reminds me of a horrible story, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. At 4:30 this morning, I was woken up out of a dead sleep to this absolute thunderous bang.
Ooh.
And I thought... Oh, wow. And then I hear Rob, who was already awake because he was about to go to work, say, oh, no. And I thought, what on earth? And I leapt out of bed in my T-shirt and underpants and I ran into the house. And my puppy, Gordy, had gone out onto the lawn to do his business like the good boy he is, and he went bolting back inside, but the glass door was shut.
Oh, no.
And Gordy went slam into the glass.
Oh, have you ever done that?
It really hurts, but he didn't hurt himself, but he was very, very stunned. Very stunned. He looked bewildered. Poor Gordy, but he's all right. He's all right. He's recovered, although he's a bit ginger when he goes to the door now. He kind of pats it, makes sure it opens.
Dogs don't hurt themselves, though.
I know. He was just, he bolted and he just cracked and it woke me out of a dead sleep. And I thought, that can't be good for a dog's head, surely.
You know, talking about dogs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you heard about the ones in North Korea? They have some dogs in a zoo?
Yeah.
Okay, well then, tell the story.
Sure, just let me tell you this one first, because it ties in with what Rachel's just been saying. I'm so sorry I've got a cough, but Eric's gone to bed with his cough. I've stayed up like a good boy. Right. So anyway, this is a true story, right, to do with that. And this is exactly what happened. This is another major tragedy in my life. Because a few years ago, I had a dog, a cat and a budgie. And they all lived together, not exactly in a cage or anything, but they all lived together in a house. But the dog would chase the cat, and the cat would always try and eat the budgie. So when I went out to work, I used to take the budgie upstairs and put it in the back bedroom and lock it in, so that the dog and the cat could just do what they wanted to do what cats and dogs get up to. But they wouldn't hurt the budgie. Anyway, I came home from work one night. And I went upstairs to get the budgie because it used to love me, and we used to have, you know, it was the first step. It was before tweeting became popular, and I went in the bedroom, and there was my budgie lay on the window ledge, and it had got a broken neck. Really true. What had happened? It had flown into the window.
Oh no!
And I broke its neck. So anyway, I picked it up. And doing what you usually do with budgies, I wrapped it in a bit of toilet paper and chucked it down the toilet.
I was going to say CPR, but probably
But this is what happened. Anyway, I chucked it in the toilet. I was about to flush, and I saw bubbles coming out. So I thought, it's not dead. My budgie's not dead. And I've chucked
it. You revived it with water.
What? You're so cruel.
Yeah, well, no, listen, there wasn't anything cruel. I grabbed it out of the water. I tried to get the toilet paper off its little feathers. And I started to give it the kiss of life, which is really difficult on a budgie. Because you don't...
It's very difficult.
Yeah, because they might explode if you do too much. So yes. I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to be doing. Anyway, it's not doing very good. So I dashed into the front bedroom, where there's always a bottle of whiskey, just for emergencies. And... I got a little spoon, and I just put a little bit on the edge of its beak to see if that would revive it. And it was dead.
Oh, that's terrible.
So I don't know if I drowned it, blew it up, or gave it alcoholism.
Rest in peace, budgie.
I'll tell you what.
I'm just wondering what it's got to do with them dogs in North Korea.
Because dog ran into a window, so my budgie flew into one. Get it, Petra.
Dogs in North Korea are usually on the menu, aren't they?
I have no idea.
They are. Have you ever had a dog?
No. Well, not that I'm aware of.
No, I haven't. I've had a monkey.
I had a horse.
Was it alive?
No.
It was horse meat,
I would say. Horse meat.
It was a lasagna.
It was a Findus lasagna, yeah. Hey, do you know what we should get on to talking about death?
Talking about what?
Death.
Death? Oh, we're talking about... We're not been to... Oh, my dead budgie. Sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, but speaking of dead and death and dying... Harold Ramis passed away this week. Harold Ramis.
See how she's doing the show on. She's fed up now. That's women, isn't it?
It's called a lovely segue, which is not lovely because it's about death. But nevertheless, Harold Ramis passed away, and he was one of my favourite writers. Actually, wasn't one of my favourite actors, but he was one of my favourite writers. Now he was famous for starring in the original two Ghostbusters films as Dr. Egon Spengler, but he was also responsible for writing Groundhog Day, National Lampoon's Animal House, and a whole bunch of other things that you would think, oh, wow.
Stripes.
Yes.
Caddyshack.
Stripes. Caddyshack.
Ghostbusters.
Back to school, because he became really good friends with Roddy Dangerfield after Caddyshack. But apparently there was a third Ghostbusters to go ahead, which would include a bunch of new breed guys, because these guys would have been too old to bust anything. But, yeah, they don't know what they're going to do. They're going to have to rewrite some things and whatnot. But there was, I was very sad to hear that he had suffered from a very long illness, and it was it was very sad to hear that he passed this week. I was very sad to hear that.
Well, I suppose it was made from the other side, couldn't they?
Well, look, you never know what will happen from the other side. There's a brand new film out with Philip Seymour Hoffman that will be the last film that he ever did.
He made it before he died then, like, yeah.
He did. Cleverly he thought that out and made that before he passed. But it's about a string quartet, and it looks like a lovely film. Christopher Walken's in it and so forth and so on. I saw a spot of that. In other death news, now this may not mean a lot to you guys, but it means a lot to people in Australia and New Zealand. Australian TV star Charlotte Dawson was found dead at her home. She's 47 years old. She took her own life. She's had a really long history of depression, but lately she's actually attempted suicide a couple of times. She's been trolled and cyberbullied within an inch of her life, and because of her depression, that has rendered her mentally unwell and in hospital on a couple of occasions. And this time, she sadly got the job done. She was famous for being a judge on Australia's Next Top Model, and she was a model back in the day, and also married to a former Australian Olympic swimmer, and you know, things like that. But she was campaigning against cyberbullying and bullying in general,
which is a good thing that she should do. Yeah. It's terrible. It's terrible what's happened to her.
When she got bullied in 2012, when she was taken to hospital, she then went on to become this really outspoken campaigner against bullying and trolls and so forth and so on. But the problem with her, because of her mental state, she refused to the worst thing you can do is engage with cyberbullies and trolls. That's the worst thing you can do. You just have to ignore them and whatever. And she was advised to actually shut down her Twitter account, but she didn't. And she kept engaging with them, and sadly she died, and it was very, very sad that she passed away on the weekend too. Very young, 47 years old.
Very sad. What about our Spanish flamenco guitarist Paco de Lucía? He's died as well. 66. I think it's really
so young.
Well, that's it, yeah. And he had a heart attack, and the tragedy is that he was playing on the beach with his children when it happened. And he was one of the best known flamenco guitarists in the world. He played a lot of films, and I spent a lot of time out in Spain and Andalusia and places like that. I just wonderful. And one of the most wonderful aspects of it is the fact that the music is live and so dramatic. And I've seen him a couple of times, and he was an amazing musician. Really sad, so, really sad, really,
really
sad.
Really horrible when these things happen right in front of your children too. It would have, really frightened the life out of them, and I'm sure they're deeply traumatised as well. but it's really horrible. That's horrid, but wherever they've gone to better places, we wish them all good things up there, and they will be fondly remembered.
Are you moving us on, Petra, to the next story? Because it's a bit of a dramatic story as well.
Is it?
It is.
Started it, so continue which one it is.
Well, it's the latest situation in the Ukraine. And, it was something that was said right at the beginning. Like we said last week, both Rachel and I said last week, that really the publicity that's been given to the situation in the Ukraine has been woefully lacking. And one thing that was hinted at was the involvement of Russia in the situation. And the Ukraine's interior minister has accused Russian forces of staging an armed invasion in Crimea. What's happening over there? What's being said in Australia, Rachel, about this?
Very little indeed. We've got a lot of our own mess at the moment with immigration issues again plaguing us, and we've got our veterans being celebrated as coming home and the bombing of Darwin last week, and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on that's really big deal news. Qantas in trouble, which we're going to talk about later. And we haven't had a great deal of major national news about this at all. It's almost like I've heard more about Sochi.
Well, that's right, but this story is an amazingly important story. We have
it's very Russia. Important.
Yeah, Russia is actually apparently raiding a country which is going to become one of our allies through the EU in a very short time. And this is almost, you know, Russia has backed off from Europe and America for a long, long time. And all right, they've only attacked, apparently, Crimea. But that is beyond saber-rattling. That is something that actually causes a great deal of tension and fear in the Western world. And let's face it, Russia is now the reason we've never had a war with Russia. And I do not mean to be incendiary like about this, but it's mainly because they had no money. And now they've got money.
They were too poor to fight. They had, you know, when it all went down back when the Cuban Missile Crisis was on and everything else, and Khrushchev was going toe-to-toe with Kennedy and all that sort of stuff. And then all of a sudden the Cold War just ended and their horrible empire collapsed, poor them, and they asked for aid. And, you know, and ever since, you know, Reagan said, you know, knock down that wall, and they've been pretty quiet. They haven't had a bone to rub together. It's an impoverished country. The people live terribly. And now all of a sudden they've got money to blow people up. What's up with that?
Well, yeah, see, I was out in Russia last year. And
That's right, you were.
And I must admit, I love Russia. I've wanted to go to Russia for a long time. And like you say, the poverty and the number of poor people there is phenomenal. Like I said, we may be overstating the case a bit about Russia and its involvement in Crimea now, but it is one of those warning things that really start to make you feel uneasy. And again, what you've actually got is the corruption coming out. Is it, you know, the deposed head of state is apparently staying in a 5-star hotel in Moscow, while everybody's claiming that he's robbed everybody.
It's all a bit strange. It's like Julian Assange living at the Ecuadorian embassy. It's like, you know, have some caviar. Never mind, it'll be all right. It's like, what are they doing? Why is he holed up there? I don't understand.
Well, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to pin down because obviously at the moment, because everything's so wild and uncontrollable and nobody really knows 100% what's going on. But the amount of money which apparently has disappeared out of the coffers of the Ukrainian state is phenomenal. Some talking about £42 billion has disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It's just absolutely petrifying. And for this to be happening now is scary that Russia has reared its head at this point when things were going to go right. I don't know.
And especially then, when they started to get, you know, particularly when the relations with America started to get particularly narky in recent years. You know, it was like Putin's never got anything really nice to say about Barack Obama. He's kind of, he equated him to, I think I read it a little while ago, he equated him to a pigeon, tossing a puff in his chest and ultimately coming to nothing. And I thought, that's kind of bold, even because you're kind of a bit of a pillock yourself. So, you know, but no, the unrest, but them sort of rattling sabres, as you say, is a bit nerve-wracking. And I would personally like to know more about it on the news, considering we're allies as well.
Absolutely, of course
and
you
we
are.
Go,
yeah.
We go and fight when we're called to, and we just got back from the fight, and now we're going to have to go again? I don't think so.
Well, that's it. And also, there's something else you should remember about this, talking about your particular circumstances, Rachel, is that Mr. Putin walks around in his underpants too.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, I find that disturbing. And I'm sure, you know what, our Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, gets around in his budgie smugglers in his Speedos all the time and is constantly photographed in those. In fact, I don't think he wears anything else. I think he wears that in a tie when he's at a press conference. But he's in Darwin right now, which is kind of horrible. I felt a bit sick when I knew that. But also, remember that horrible man, Scott Morrison, the Minister for Immigration, that I've been banging on about. He's here too to talk about one of the detention centres, and I knew I felt a bit nauseated today, and now I know why.
I know. It's funny. Is it, Abbott? He's an Abbott, isn't he? Your Prime Minister. Do you think he's really got any dirty habits?
Do you know what though would have been great? A few years ago, our ex Prime Minister John Howard was supposed to retire and give him the Prime Ministership. And at the time, we had a treasurer by the name of Peter Costello. So running the country could have potentially been Abbott and Costello. And I thought, that can't ever happen. Please, God, don't let that happen.
I think as Petra's gone really quiet, I think we should finish the first half on the North Korea story. Why have you put Yorkshire Terriers in the zoo?
I don't know.
That's what she was talking about before. She said, what about the zoo? And we hadn't read our sheet properly, and we went, they're great, but we probably eat them. Actually not the case, Petra, is it?
No, they're lovely little dogs. Well, I don't like little dogs, but as far as little dogs go, they're really nice little dogs. And yeah. North Korea have put them in a zoo, and I think what Petra said is right. They put them in the zoo to stop anybody eating them. That's a terrible thing to say.
No,
that's
this awful. Is not what I wanted to say.
Oh, you should be ashamed of yourself, Petra, for saying that.
You're just not reading the script Eric prepared. You well, see, I've got unusual. You there. And you both were nodding like, yes, we read it. I know what the story's about.
I never read it. I just wing it. But they've now, the dogs are learning several, quote unquote, several feats, although it did not elaborate on the type of tricks they perform. They don't, yeah, exactly. They're not elaborating on the type of tricks they perform because, you know, it's everything that comes out of North Korea is very secretive. So they won't actually, you know, divulge the tricks that the dogs can do. They can probably shoot guns or something.
And the Lonely Planet, the travel guides, because I used to write for Lonely Planet, actually, and they actually condemned the Central Zoo in, where is it? I can't remember where it is now, but Phnom Penh or somewhere. That's the wrong country, isn't it? Anyway,
that's in Cambodia, I think.
Anyway, they condemned it.
Lee, you got married not long ago, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm not in a zoo.
No, not in a zoo. But I was thinking, for the next half of the postcard from Poprad, we're going to talk about something to do with marriage. And you're going to be the one, to talk about it. Okay, so I think I'll talk to you next half.
From the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.